Let us go to the Word.
John 3, 31 to 34.
The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. The man who has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives the Spirit without limit. Amen. And Romans 9, verse 1. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. Amen. I speak the truth in Christ. That is where the title of today's sermon comes from. Speak the truth in Christ. So, what do you think the attribute of God is? Close? God is the true God altogether. God is the true God. God is the true God. God is the true God. Jeremiah 10:10 says God is the true God. Because he is true, his will or his purpose does not change. And because he is true, he only speaks the truth. Hebrews 6:17 to 18 describes this. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. Therefore, it is impossible for God to do what? To lie. It is impossible for God to lie. So that is the hope for those who believe in God. Amen? So faith is to believe in this true God and that his word alone is true. How many of you believe that? That God is true and his word alone is therefore true. 2 Samuel 7:28. Faith life, the Christian life that we ought to live every day, is in order for us to receive the true life. 1 Timothy 6:19 says, truly life, like the life that is truly, that is true. So the true life. In order for us to receive the true life in that day, by entering the true heaven, Hebrews 9:24 says, true heaven, true life, to have that true life, enter the true heaven, it means that we need to put every effort to not be deceived while we are living in the world, in this flesh, listening the truth and speaking the truth only. So listening only to the truth and speaking only the truth. May I add one more to that? Doing the truth. Doing the truth. Listening, speaking, and doing the truth. What are the three things? How many of you like to tell the truth? How many of you like to hear the truth? Okay, see, there's a difference, right? It's like, tell the truth. Ooh, but I want to hear the truth. Don't lie to me. But if you tell me to not lie, then, why is that? Right? We're a bunch of hypocrites. We expect people to tell us truth, but then when we're demanded to tell the truth, then we are like, I have something to hide. I don't know what, but I feel like I have something to hide. Truth and lie, the difference between truth and lie is difference between heaven and hell and night and day, basically. And even in the world, liars are not welcome. Liars, liars, pants on fire. Yeah, they're so bad that their pants are on fire. Yes. even in the world, perjury is a felony. Perjury. So any form of perjury, anywhere from, you know, lying to the IRS or lying to the law enforcement or cheating on tests. I remember when I went to college, the Expos class, like we all had to take as freshmen. We spent so much time on perjury. Yeah, like basically not copying and pasting without giving, without citing the sources. So it was like, oh my God, like what's the way? Like they were like just like drilling in our heads. If you cheat, you're going to be expelled. That was like the lesson of Expos. You cheat, you get expelled. So that was done, and I think Yeah, those poor English teachers that when they, grade, and I think that's the case for history teachers, they have to actually like physically look at and recognize that these words are not coming from the student. But now, thanks to AI, you just kind of like scan the docs, have them all submit to Google Doc, and have AI do that for you and catch it, right? So, that lying and not being honest is punished for sure from that level, all due to lying under oath. Right? If somebody puts their hand on the Bible, especially in this country, and say, I vow to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. So when they make that oath, they are committed to tell the truth, because if they don't, they'll go to jail. They'll be punished for sure. So there is that case of taking lie seriously, but what about people who speak certain things and not do according to what they speak? That's also a form of lying, right? So they will say they're going to do something, they promise, but they don't deliver. So it could be in a stump speech during election season, if you vote for me, I will do this and this and this and that for you. Vote for me, support me and my party, we will do this and this and this and that. These are politicians, right? So politicians, I mean, not all of them are crooked per se, like, and like outright, you know, crooked, but by definition, politicians are professional liars. Not my words. I've heard like a linguist say that, or some scholar say, the definition of politician is professional liar, because perhaps they start out trying to be honest and follow through with the promises, but when you go into politics, you have to play politics, which is to negotiate, and you have to have trade-offs, and, you know, if you support my vote, then I'll vote for you. So they can't deliver whatever they promise. So that is a problem. People who also scheme, who are con artists, these are liars, right? They speak certain things, but they do other things. Now, all of this is very, very weighty and serious, because the human society is a language society, and that is unique to humans. No other creatures on in the world, animals, do they form relationship based on language. They may have some more sophisticated noise, you know, that they make, and they kind of communicate through that, but nowhere near the complexity of the human language do they have. So that our society is basically made up of language, the words that we use. So through the words that we use, whether read or spoken or heard, we carry our ideology, our intentions, and they form our actions. We form our actions based on ideologies and intentions, communicate through language. So if you think about that, that's very powerful. Our words are very, very powerful. So whose words you listen to will really determine the success or failure of your life. So and who you live with, and whatever words that they speak, because you get influenced with people that you spend the most time with. So if they are true speakers, and even if it means being isolated and not liked and unpopular, and they stand by that truth, then the person grows up in the truth and seeking the truth and valuing the truth. Flip side is that when someone lives with someone who lies, like a thief, a cheater, a schemer, then the spouse, the wife, the husband, the children, mother, father, everybody lives in that influence, and they all become liars and schemers, even if they might not be actively doing it, but because of the words that they hear and they passively agree, right, and then partake in, they become that one thing, which is that that they live in lies. And also therefore, the worth of a man is determined by whether he speaks truth or not, whether he delivers according to what he speaks. Because lies harm others. Lies harm others. But eventually, lies harm oneself. So it's like a boomerang, right? So you are throwing it out there, and then perhaps whoever gets hit gets harmed by lies, but it ends up coming back to the person who speaks the lie, so it ends up hurting them and destroying them, because liars, they become pathological liars because they cannot tell the difference between truth and lie anymore. They can't stop. So they start to believe in their own lies. So it becomes very, very murky what truth is and what lie is. Now, for Christians who say who believe in the true God, how many of you believe in the true God? Yes. Why do you believe him? Why do you trust him? Because his word is true. His word is true. And because his word is true, what his promise is true, and his promise is those who commit to listen to his word and live by his word will be then brought to heaven. That is true. The flip side to that, those who do not listen to his word, that is true, who do not live by the word, that is true, what happens to them? Let's go to Revelation 21, verse 8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, and the idolaters. Like, if you pause there, right there. Wow, these are like serious sins. These guys all need to go to hell. My goodness, terrible people, right? But then, who else is included in that group? All liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. That this is the second death. What is the second death? AKA hell. That's hell. And verse 27, jump to 27. Nothing impure will ever enter it, meaning the kingdom of heaven, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. So, how many of us want to go to the true heaven? I mean, if singing a song called Hymn of Heaven is like this heavenly, can you imagine how wonderful, how perfect that place is? Amen? That's why we are shedding our tears and shouting in one voice, like giving the chills, like, wow, I hear a wall of sound in this room. I'd like never before. Because everyone is just saying amen to those beautiful words. Like, say, I want to be there. We want to go there. Amen? Yes. If you want to go there, we have to understand, nothing impure will enter it. Impure, what is impure? Anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful. Meaning anyone who lies. Anyone who is deceived. Anyone who is deceiving. So the Bible treats lies very, very seriously, as equal, just as serious as other sins that are, you know, defined as grave sins. Because the Bible teaches us the lesson that God alone is true. In Psalm 116, verse 11 says, everyone is a liar. Not my words. The words of the Bible, word of God. Psalm 116 says that. And Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful. Romans 3:4 says, let God be true and every human being a liar. That's the diagnosis, according to the Bible. As it makes for about mankind, that all men are liars. But maybe some of you are going like, I'm having an allergic reaction to your statement right now because I'm not a liar. Who are you calling a liar right now? I'm not calling nobody liar. I'm just reading what the Bible says, right? So the Bible says the entire world is deceived and therefore deceiving. Because it is deceived, it deceives. That's how the Bible says about what the Bible says about the world and how, therefore, how God sees the world. Why is this the case? Well, we're not talking about animals lying, right? Even if like a bug may be gross or snake may be gross, they're not gross or detestable because they lie. It's humans who lie. Humans who are deceived and deceiving. It's because the ancestor of all humans, all mankind, was deceived. What's his name? Adam. Yes, Adam, the living being, the spirit who, spirit man. So a man who was made up of flesh, but becomes spirit because God breathed into this man, his breath, the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Say it with me, a living being. A living being is a spiritual being living in the flesh. His name was Adam. He lived in the Garden of Eden, and he was given the word from God, by God, to live by, which said, do not eat from this tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Perhaps we should look at that part. 2:17. So 2:17 says, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. Again, who said these words? Hello, who said these words? God said these words. To whom? Adam, the living being. So the living being who's made up of flesh, the flesh can eat any kind of food in the garden, but the spirit inside the flesh has its own food, which is to eat the word of God, listen to the word of God, do according to the word of God, which is the command. And that said, do not eat from this tree. But what happens? In chapter 3, there was a serpent that was more cunning than any other creatures. But there, verse 3, 4, read with me. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So he directly quotes God's word, God's commandment to Adam, but turns it upside down by adding not in front of that. You will not surely die. I heard God too. He said, you will surely die. But I'm telling you, you will not surely die. God actually does not want you to become like God, become like him. So I'm telling you the truth, the serpent said to the woman who repeated those words to her husband, Adam. And Adam, therefore, was deceived and took the fruit. Now, who was the serpent? The serpent in Revelation 12:7 on describes him to be ancient, and the ancient serpent, he is Satan. Satan is the enemy of God, who was an archangel in the spiritual heaven, who was cast out from it because he sinned there. What was his sin? He wanted to be like God. He wanted to be like God, and he stopped serving God. So he deceived himself. Uh-oh. The origin of deceiving, the origin of sin, is Satan. He is also called the devil when he does the work of deceiving men to separate mankind from God. So this is the same person, the fallen angel, Satan, the devil, the serpent, who deceived himself to be like God. As a result, God cast him out of the spiritual heaven and contained him in the universe known as Hades, Ho Hades. And Jesus called him in John 8:44, the father of lies. You cannot tell the difference between truth and lies because your father is the biggest liar. He is the father of lies. Because he lied to himself thinking he could be like God even though he's just a creature. He lied to your ancestor, Adam. And Adam just ate it up. Just ate it up. He's like, oh yeah, sure, I'll eat it. But of course, that did not make him anywhere near be like God. Instead, sin brought death into the spirit that he is. And that's what he passed down to all mankind to this day. That is the spirit and sin along with the spirit. So all men died in sin as a result. And describing that in Isaiah 28:15, it says, you boast, we have entered into covenant with death. And a lie, we have made a lie our refuge and falsehood our hiding place. So this is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. And then this is what he is saying about the world, about all men who have made lie their refuge, falsehood their hiding place. And Ecclesiastes 7:25 says, I turn my heart to know and to search out and to seek wisdom and the scheme of things and to know the wickedness of folly and the foolishness that is madness. So folly means foolishness, being fool. So who's a fool? A fool is someone who is fooled. April Fool's Day. Yes? Like the Jack in the Box. Boom! Coming out. It's like, boo. So someone who is fooled, someone who is deceived, this is because, actually, according to the Bible, this is sin. And this is because of one's own pride. Why does Satan deceive himself? Because of his pride. He thought he could be like God. He's good enough like God. Good enough to be like God. So he fooled himself. But the Bible, the way God sees it, that's folly. That leads one to be arrogant, to be proud, and that's a result of being deceived. Deceived himself, oneself, and therefore deceives others. So when one is deceived, he deceives others. And that is seen as wicked in the eyes of God, and even madness, simply crazy. But we see the history of the Bible after Adam's sin, even though there's no hope because all men became bound to follow the devil to the place where the liars will go. That is hellfire. But God reveals that he alone is true by calling on men who respond to his calling by faith And he promises them and fulfills his promise to them to show that it is impossible for God to lie. So the Bible is the credit score. You guys like that sound? Not really? Yes, credit score. Yeah, credit score is very important, right? Now, to even apply to college, you need to have your credit score checked. It's like, oh my gosh. Yeah, because they think your obligation to any institution really shows the value of this person is shown by the record of how they manage their finance. If they're full of debt and they're always late on their payment, they're like, no, thank you. Don't come to our institution because we don't want to deal with you. Yes. So you want to know whether you can trust God or not? You need to read the Bible. Yes? Yeah, the Bible is the credit score of God. So God called on a man named Noah and spoke to him and warned to him about his judgment against the entire world. And that will be by a flood that will drown, wipe out the entire earth. But God saw that Noah was a God-fearing man. He was a righteous man in that sense, so that God commanded him to build an ark to save himself and his family, which he did. So according to God's warning, his prophecy that was revealed to Noah, God wiped out the entire world with this deluge. So God showed that my word is true. Even though, how long did it take for them to build the ark, Noah and his family? About 70 years. Very, very long time. Still, God waited and fulfilled his word. Later on, he called on Abraham, and when he was childless, he promised them there will be many descendants coming from him. There will be nations, kings will come, that will come from his family, his flesh and blood. Now, when he did visit his home in Genesis 18, Abraham was still childless. But God said, I will return to you a year later and you will be with a child. Now, how old was Abraham then? 99. Because at the age of 100 next year, what did he receive? Who did he receive? A son. And when he held him in his arm, what did he do? And named him what? Laughter. Isaac. Yes. Because, wow, God's word is true. He wasn't joking. Even in my body as good as dead, I was able to, through my body and my wife's body, we were able to give birth because this is the word of God that was promised to us, and he surely fulfilled it, for it is impossible for God to lie. Amen. His nephew Lot was given the word of God through the angels who visited him and saying, next, by sun up, before the sun comes up, you need to get out of here because the city you live in, the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, they will be burned down because these cities are wicked and God will judge them by this fire, the brimstone fire. So you better get out. Of course, not everyone in his family even believed, including his sons-in-law. They thought it was a joke. So they didn't go. But Lot and his wife and his daughters left the city. And his wife, of course, did not make it to the end because she turned back against the warning of God and turned into a pillar of salt. But he and his daughters made to the place where they were supposed to go. And by the time they went there, that was when the brimstone fire fell and the cities were consumed, judged. So again, it showed that the word of God is true. The people of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, generations later on, since Abraham, they found themselves as slaves in Egypt. That was when God sent Moses to bring them out of their status as slaves under the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Now, this was according to what God had said to Abraham 400 years before that. So when they left, it's called the Exodus of Israel, right, out of Egypt. But this was according to what God said to Abraham in Genesis 15:13. Know for certain that for 400 years, your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. This is Genesis 15. Now, when that actually does happen, which is about four generations later, Exodus 12:41, at the end of the 430 years, to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt. How many of you believe that? Wait, some of you are going, but there is 300 years of difference. So? It's 400 and 430. I still take his word for that. Amen? Yes. So 430, 420, about 400, four generations. This is what God has said to Abraham. No one remember that except God himself. For it is impossible for him to lie. He surely fulfilled it to that very day. And the people of Israel were delivered from their slavery by the blood of the Passover lamb. Amen. Now these people left their slavery in Egypt, were brought into the desert where they traveled for 40 years before they enter the promised land. And that was where they were given the 10 commandments. Certainly they were not the only commandments. They had received hundreds of more commandments. But the 10 commandments were given as the representative, the regulations for the entire law that was really about the one message. Do not be deceived. What is it? So Exodus 20, verse 16, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. That's number 9, right, of the 10 commandments. So because it's number 9, things like, oh, that's sort of like minor. No, it's not. The first commandment, what is the first commandment of the 10 commandments? You shall not serve, you shall not worship any other God. No other God but the Lord God. Now, besides that, there are 9 commandments, but those 9 commandments are really to highlight that main point, which is you shall not have any other God before me. You shall not serve any other God but the Lord God. Because of that, you don't worship idols. Because of that, you don't misuse his name. Because of that, you honor his day, the holy day, right? You remember his day and keep it holy. And because of that, you honor your parents and so on. Because of that, you don't lie. All the way down there. All of those commandments are for that message. Do not be deceived for who he is. He is the one true God. He alone is the true God. Amen? Leviticus 19:11 says, do not lie. Do not deceive one another. So if God says he alone is true, right? Because if you're thinking logically, you should be asking a question right now. If God says he alone is true, and the Bible, meaning God says, every man is a liar. But then he gives commandments, says, do not lie. You ever think about that? See, you always have to think and pay attention. Wait a minute. If he's the only one and he says everyone's a liar, why is he telling us to not lie? There's a purpose for that. Keep listening. The sanctuary, the tabernacle, was placed to put the name Jehovah, to place the name of the only true God. And of course, there was the ark. The Ark of the Covenant, it's also referred to as the Ark of the Covenant Law, Exodus 25:22, which had the stone tablets with the Ten Commandments. It was a reminder that God speaks the truth. He alone speaks the truth. In the name Jehovah, he spoke. Now, the people try to obey the commandment and not lie and not deceive one another, but of course, they fell away. They were deceived, and they deceive one another. Starting with the priests. We read about that in Malachi, the very last book in the Old Testament. They cheated God with their sacrifice and offerings. They cheated. So cheating is lying, right? So cheated God. Saying God doesn't need any of these offerings. He's not eating any of the sacrifice. So why give the good ones? Let's keep the good ones to ourselves and give the sick ones. They're dying anyway. Why waste these things? And God accused them, rebuked them angrily, saying, you're cheating me. You're robbing me. What is mine? But their corruption didn't end there. They also allow the appearance of false prophets. What kind of prophets? False prophets. So if you read through the prophetic books, the heavy ones like the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the ones that you kind of go in and out, you know, it's like, is this a dream? My dream or his dream? That was like my experience when I read through like Ezekiel. Like, is this my dream or Ezekiel's dream? So these are like so long, but a lot of it is against the false prophets who emerged and were very influential. Because think about it. The false prophets, just like what it says, prophets are those who are foreseers. They see things that other people don't see. Because this is how God revealed his plan, right? He would show them visions. He would let them hear. And they would speak to the people what they saw and what they heard. So they are foreseers, prophecies, they will say. But the false ones are those who would say things that they never saw. Or that they would say something that is against the opposite of what they saw and what they heard. So in Ezekiel 13:19, you have profaned me among my people for a handful of barley and for pieces of bread, putting to death souls who should not die and keeping alive souls who should not die by your lying to my people who listen to lies. Uh-oh. It's not just them lying, but people are lying, listening to lies. It takes two to tango. Liars are not liars if they're shouting lies by themselves. They are liars because there are people who are listening to their lies. This is why we have to pay attention. You can't just go, I'm not a liar. Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that? If you listen to lies and cannot tell that it is lie, or that you're telling yourself lies and you don't even know it, that's a liar. So the false prophets were exactly doing that. And God accused the people in Isaiah 30 verses 9 to 10. For these are rebellious people, deceitful children, children unwilling to listen to the Lord's instruction. They say to the seers, see no more visions. So they're speaking to true prophets. See no more visions. And to the prophets, give us no more visions for what is right. Tell us pleasant things. Prophesy illusions. We want to hear things that are sweet to our ears. Please don't tell us stuff that are bitter to our ears. Don't tell us stuff that is burdensome. Tell us something that is light, enjoyable, pleasurable. Please. Jeremiah 6:10 says, their ears are closed so they cannot hear. The word of the Lord is offensive to them even. Jeremiah 14:14, it says, the prophets are prophesying lies in my name. So God was very angry. But when you look at passages like 1 Kings 22, where God actually puts a lying spirit to the mouths of the prophets. Uh-oh. So who is putting lying spirits to these false prophets to be false prophets? It was actually God himself. What? Yes. God, who is the true God. He is the one who's allowing this to happen. Why? What kind of God is that? So that the contrast between the truth and lies, the true God and the false ones, would be revealed. So all men will be in this darkness, hopelessness, in lies, under lies, according to his plan and schedule. So when the truth comes, the truth will shine like the true light, the only light in this dark world. So naturally, who came according to that plan of God? The Son of God in his name, what? Yeshua. Hallelujah. When Yeshua appeared, he was standing before the temple of Jerusalem where the name of Jehovah was, where the Ten Commandments were inside the ark. What did he say that made these Jews upset? Destroy this temple. Go to John 2:18. Then the Jews demanded of him, what miraculous signs can you show us to prove your authority to do all this? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. The Jews replied, it has taken 46 years to build this temple and you're going to raise it in 3 days? But the temple he has spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he has said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. So when he said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it again in 3 days, no one believed in, including his disciples. But of course, it was the Jews, the Jewish leaders, like the chief priests and the Pharisees, who consider his statement as the worst, the biggest, the fattest lie. How dare you say that? You're going to destroy this. How blasphemous. And on top of that, you say you're going to raise it back in 3 days. With what? How? That is lie. And that's why Matthew 26:61, they conspire to arrest him. And they say that right before he's handed over to the Romans to be crucified. You said you will destroy the temple and raise it again. This was a serious matter. They had labeled Yeshua as a liar. The worst one, even. But what Yeshua was referring to, which is realized only after the disciples had received the Holy Spirit, after Yeshua died and resurrected and sent the Holy Spirit as he ascended to, after he ascended to heaven, it was actually referring to the temple of his body. All say together, the temple of his body. That he was saying that I'm going to die, but in 3 days I will be raised back to life. I'm going to tear down the shadow, the copy of the temple. The temple that you Jews honor as the temple of God, the true God, the true name Jehovah, is actually only a copy of the true one. Hebrews 9 talks about that in verse 24. The true temple, the true image, is going to be raised through his resurrection after his death. And this time, not to hold the name Jehovah delivered by an angel, but the name that the Son of God brought, came in, and that name is the name Yeshua. Hallelujah. Then the name Yeshua, the temple will be raised, and now he will speak not through the angels or men, some specific men like the prophets, sometimes being deceived and telling false things. Rather, he will now speak through the Son who was with the Father in the beginning. Hallelujah. Where does it say that? John 1:1. Oh my goodness. Yes, you knew we were going to go there. John 1:1. actually keep the Bible open in John, because we're going to look at other passages there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word there is the self-manifestation of God. It is part of the one God. But he is separated there because there's a plan, the schedule of God, that the Word will become flesh. The Word would come out of God. Come out of God? Because in 1:18, what does 1:18 say? No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. So here it says the Father's side, but an earlier version, a translation says the Father's bosom. So the Word was with God like this, in the heart, the bosom of the Father, hidden, one with the Father, but became flesh. So verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So the Word who is God, and who is God today that we are focusing on? True. The true God. So the true God, who was in the beginning, in eternity, became flesh. And when he becomes flesh, he refers to himself as the Son of Man. What does he call himself? The Son of Man. The Son of God, the Son of Man. But he is the true God. So the words he spoke, even if he said, destroy this temple, I'll raise it in 3 days, and the ears of men, only seeing him as a man, this is a lie. But what Yeshua is saying is, you will know after I die and through my resurrection that I'm speaking of right now. I'm going to die, but I will be raised back to life in 3 days. You don't know it and you think it's the biggest lie, but I'll show you it is true. That through the fulfillment of his word, he will be revealed as the one who speaks the truth. Hallelujah! Because he is the word in the beginning, the true God who became flesh. What he spoke was true. So if you go back to John 3, where we started in the beginning, John 3, the beginning of the sermon here, 3:31. Let's read that again. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth. Speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard. But no one accepts his testimony. Whoever has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. Wait, so who was sent by God? The Son. The reason why he calls himself the Son is because he was sent by the Father God. And he calls God the Father because he was sent by him. And he says, I speak not on my own, but the words of him who sent me. He repeated this so many times. John 8:26, John 14:24, and John 10:24. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. So he said that he was sent by the Father. So he spoke the words of the sender, the Father's words. Because the Father God is true, his words are true. And because the Son spoke the Father's words that are true, the words of the Son are also... Are you with me? Is this too confusing? Is this like too advanced? Am I speaking too fast? Let's go over again. The Father is true. His word is true. And the Son who comes from him, who is the true God in the beginning as the word becomes flesh, opens his mouth and speaks his word. But the word is not of his own, but it's the word that he heard from the Father, who is the true God. Therefore, the words of the Son are, yes, true. This is just simple reason. You know, I talk about this logos. In philosophy class, they talk about A equals B and B equals C. A equals C, right? You learned that in algebra and stuff like that, right? And then you apply that to Stevie Wonder. I don't know if you guys know Stevie Wonder. He's this like great musician who happens to be blind. So Stevie Wonder, love is blind. We have to start there. Love is blind. You agree? Love is blind? Love is blind. That's why they do foolish things. Yes. Love is blind. Stevie Wonder is also blind. So if you follow the logic of A equals B and B equals C and A equals C, so love is Stevie Wonder. So in that scenario, it doesn't work. But here, it works because this is not about human, but it is the God who became flesh. The Word in the beginning became flesh. And he spoke the words that he heard in the beginning from the true Father. And therefore he said in John 6:63, the spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. The words I've spoken to you, what are they? They are spirit, they are life. These words give life to the spirit. Hallelujah. But of course, to the Jews, and even to you who are listening, I'm confused, or I don't really believe that, or this is all new to me. Let's go to John 8, verse 13 to 18. Let's read that together. The Pharisees challenged him. Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I come from, where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. So according to the law of Moses, which God himself gave, if you have two witnesses, then it is true. Whatever they witness is true. So here he is saying that the Father testifies about me and I testify about myself. How many is that? Two. He alone knows where he comes from, where he is going even. So he is true. Let's continue to read 844 and see what he says about people and their the devil. 844. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet, because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any one of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not believe, you do not hear, is that you do not belong to God. So what he's saying is unbelievers are those who do not believe what they hear, and they cannot tell whether that is the word of God as opposed to the word of the devil. So we need to be able to tell who is speaking and therefore what this word is. And Yeshua, being he, the Son of God, God, the God himself who came in as man, spoke the truth. But they did not understand, they did not believe him. And ultimately, the biggest lie that they consider is what is said about himself. John 10:30, he said, I and the Father are one. What did he say? I and the Father are one. Again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We are not stoning you for any good work, they reply, but for blasphemy, because you, mere man, claim to be God. So to this day, Jews refuse to believe Jesus as the Messiah. Why not? Not because he was not a good man, not because he didn't do miraculous works, but because of what he said of himself. Because they saw him strictly as a man, saying that he is God. But he knew that only through his death and the resurrection to follow, that he would testify that his word is true. So he willingly went to the cross when they arrested him and nailed him to the cross. And as he died, what did he say? It is finished. So it was the moment that his death was to now testify that the Father's word is true. Now, if you remember, I had you read in Genesis 3:4, when the serpent said to the man, Adam, take this fruit. You will not surely die. And he ate the fruit. Did he die? Did Adam die? Nothing happened to him physically. Spirit died. But the final death will be in the place called the second death, hell, which didn't take place yet. But all men did die in sin through Adam. So here is Yeshua in 1 Corinthians 15:45, referring to him as the last Adam. What is he referred to? What is he referred to as? The last Adam. So he died as the last Adam, fulfilling the word that the Father said to the first Adam, saying, if you eat of it, you will. So the first Adam broke the word of God because he was deceived. But the one who was never deceived died, even to death. He was obedient to reveal that the Father's word alone is true. Hallelujah. Because he said, you will not surely, he said, you will surely die. But he thought that he was not going to die because he was lied to by the devil, the first Adam. But as a result, the last Adam died with that word saying, Father, your word alone is true. Even if it means death for me, your word alone is true. You alone are true. Hallelujah. And by that he judged the liar, the devil. And Job 12:16 says, to him belongs strength and insight. Both deceived and deceiver are his. Both deceived and deceiver are God's. That's what the Bible is saying. So the one who is deceived is Adam, the first Adam. And the deceiver is the devil. They all belong to God for one purpose of revealing that God alone is true. Hallelujah. Is this amazing about the will of God? Amen. He sprinkled his precious blood that redeemed the sins of all men, the souls of all men, giving them the chance to be washed away of their sins with his precious blood to become true sons of God. Hebrews 12:8 says, true sons of God. How many of you want to be true sons of God? The true sons of God will not be deceived, cannot be deceived, will no longer deceive. Hallelujah. Just as he said he would, after that he died his death and he resurrected in 3 days. In 3 days he rose from the grave to testify that the word that he spoke about his death and his resurrection is true. He ascended to heaven. He ascended to the true heaven. And he reigns in that place where there's no more lie, no more deceit, no more falsehood. Only the truth reigns. Hallelujah. How many of you want to go there? You like it here better? Full of lies? You like lies? Do you like lies? It is from there in heaven, in the name Yeshua, the true name of God, that the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of Truth. What is it referred to as? The Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth comes to believers who have received the blood of Yeshua. Say amen. If you have welcomed the name Yeshua as the true name of your Savior, of God. Amen. And you have received the blood of Yeshua. Amen. And to the believers, he comes. And as Yeshua said in John 14:24, anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me, meaning he speaks the Father's word. All this I have spoken while I was still with you, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. So I spoke the Father's word, which are true words. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he will speak my words. What are they all speaking? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. True words. How many of you receive the Holy Spirit? Do you hear the true words? Amen. So that's why Paul said in Romans 9:1, I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. So if you ever see the Holy Spirit, say amen again. Can you discern the truth from lies? Not sure. Speaking the truth comes from hearing the truth. So the Holy Spirit warns us to not be deceived by Satan, the liar. So the Christian is someone who was once deceived in the past, once fooled. So Titus 3:3 says, at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy and being hated and hating one another. So in the past, before Christ, we lived under lies. We were lied to and we were lying. We were deceived and we were deceiving. But now through Christ, by being washed away of our sins, by his blood and receiving the Spirit of Truth, we're now no longer deceived or deceiving. Say amen if this is you. Not sure still? Uh-oh. You have to pay attention now. 1 Timothy 2:7 says, I am telling the truth. I am not lying. Again, Paul's highlighting. I am telling the truth. I am not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. So a man who is made by the Holy Spirit, a true Christian, I have to say that. Because there are so many so-called Christians who are not true. Sadly, this is the truth. A man who is made by the Spirit of Truth, a true Christian, is someone who has now been revealed of what the truth is. Therefore, no longer is deceived and no longer deceives. Therefore, the Christian longs to gather into the only place that the truth is declared. The only place on earth where the truth is spoken, where the truth alone is accepted. Where do you think this place is? It is the, hello, where is it? It's the church, the body of Christ. Hallelujah. I knew you were going there, Pastor. You're saying that this place is the only place. That's right. That is why I had to say all that for about 45 minutes to come to this point. We have to always lay the groundwork, right? So I don't just say this and you go, you're a liar. I have to tell you, I'm not lying, to tell you what the Bible says about who God is and what he said. How he fulfilled them all. How Jesus himself, Yeshua himself fulfilled what he said. So why is it the church is the place or the only place on earth that only truth or true words are spoken and accepted? Yeshua himself in John, Matthew 16 and until 18, I will build my church. My church. So the church belongs to the true God, Yeshua. Amen? It doesn't belong to Pastor Kang or Pastor Joe. It's not, or owned by people who founded the church, for the church of Jesus here, or any church. A true church is a truth that belong, a church that belongs to Christ as his body. Now certainly there are many churches around the world. See, that's a challenge. There are many churches around the world. The question is how many of them are? Which ones are true? Because not many are true. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11, 3 to 4. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. But if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. These are the words of the apostle Paul writing to the early church or churches at the time. But still these are the words that we need to accept as the words of the Spirit spoken to us today, to the Christians and the churches today. And what is the Spirit saying? Wow, if someone comes to you and preaches you a gospel that's other than the true gospel, a different gospel, if someone comes to you and teaches about Jesus that is different Jesus, different salvation, you put up with it. No, not only do you put up with it, you like it. You like it. And you come, you keep on coming. Your friends keep on coming with you. You don't evangelize, but people keep on coming and the pastor has to say, please don't come. We don't have enough space in our parking lot. It's true. I've heard a pastor say that at this huge church and saying, we really like you, but we don't have space for all of you. So you should support other churches in your area. I know, those of you who work so hard to bring new soul to there, like, are you kidding me? Do you know how many texts I had to give to this person to come today? So these are the churches that are out there. What are they saying then? Are they preaching the same message that Yeshua himself spoke, that the same message spoken in the early church era by the Holy Spirit? Or are they speaking words that are sweet to the ears of many? Speaking the words of famous philosophers, famous theologians can make the preacher sound very intelligent or even an intellectual. Or speaking words about or of Buddha, Confucius, or Gandhi, or even Muhammad. And saying, oh, these words are so wise. Words are the words of wisdom and good words. And people like that. Or some famous philosopher today, and they will say, wow, our pastor, our preacher is so intelligent and well-read. Wow. And look around me. There's just so many intellectuals in my church. Noble people. Look at them. They're just so noble, classy people. Classy people. I like that. I want to be like them. I want to be people like that. They come in here, it's like, oh, look at these people. Oh, my God, what? Just screaming and shouting. What are those tissue boxes for? Oh, my God, dirty tissues everywhere. What is this? How about the words of Moses? My pastor is always talking about the words of Moses, the Ten Commandments. Yes, I started the sermon talking about the Ten Commandments, too. And does that mean that we tear down the Ten Commandments? No, we do keep the Ten Commandments. But why do preachers like to talk about the Ten Commandments? Because everyone agrees to that. Because even if you study law, Do you know that law students learn about the Ten Commandments? Yeah, it's called the Mosaic Law. That's the model of the Western legal system. So even in the world, they talk about the Law of Moses. Now, the Law of Moses, if it's introduced in order to be connected to the law of Christ, to reveal who God is, and then therefore submit to God's word and his authority, and Yeshua, his word is the words of authority, the words of the Father, true words, and you must submit to them, then yes, keep on talking, keep on speaking, keep on preaching that. But if they just go, honor your parents, love your neighbors, do not lie, do not covet, God bless you, go home. Who can't do that? But they like that. They like that. Moses said, give tithe, and you and your household for three generations be wealthy, and you'll be prosperous, your children live long, good life, and you will live a good life. Who can't say that? But they keep on saying this because it is popular, people like it, and they will keep coming because of that. But where are the words of Yeshua? Well, Yeshua said, look after the poor and the widows and those who are neglected and so on. That's true. He said that. But what else did he say? He said in Matthew 7, 13 on, enter through the narrow gate. What did he say? I know, this is the part you don't want to hear, but it is the truth. You have to hear it. What did he say? Enter through the narrow gate. What else did he say? Why is it narrow gate? No one wants to go into the narrow gate. Everyone's got to go into the wide gate because the path is wide and easy. The narrow gate is small and the path is small and difficult. No one wants to go in it. But at the end of the path is eternal life. You don't agree? What else did Yeshua say? Lay down your wife, your mother, your father, your children, your husband, your land, and follow me. Another place is take up your cross and follow me. Taking up the cross means to deny yourself. Deny yourself of what you want to do in your flesh and in the world. Pursuing false dreams and hopes in the world, you need to nail that to the cross because it was nailed if you're a Christian. If you're baptized in his name, they were nailed to the cross because your old self was nailed, died with Christ. When you come out of the water, it is as a new creature you come out, belonging to Christ, living by, governed by the words of Christ alone. But pursuing after the worldly things, worldly dreams, like everyone else. These are lies. These are false dreams, false hopes, and they have nothing to do with the true words of Yeshua. But churches do not preach this because they're not popular. And therefore, many of you sit here after months of coming in the beginning. It's like, wow, the words, it's so interesting. Even coming to Logos, so interesting. Wow, inspiring. I'm learning a lot. People are so nice. I love to go and eat good food and good people. We all love. Wow, I love that. I love that. And then like your ears start to open. And after 3 months, about 6 months, it's like, come to meeting. Where were you? How come you didn't come? It's like, where's the smile? I'm not getting any love nowadays. They're asking me, taking attendance. Like, if I miss one Sunday and then everybody's surrounding me, where were you? How come we didn't see, is everything okay? I'm like, can we meet? Oh my God. Like, I'm like, can we meet? I'm being investigated. I'm getting interrogated. I feel pressure. I don't have joy. That's a lot of people. I lost joy. Why do I have to come to church without joy? When Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me, did he say, I give joyfully? Is the cross joyful? Because of the word being so burdensome, the churches hold back, preachers hold back, and they choose not to speak the truth. They will speak the truth as in what everyone, the most people agree. So statistics, we give way to the majority, right? Majority says. 60, 70, 80% says this and this and that. Statistics, that's what majority is. Majority rules. God is not pleased with the majority that do not listen to the word of truth. Rather, he is pleased with the few, even if they may be two or even one, who love and long and seek the words of truth. How many want to hear the truth? Amen? So the words that say, give money to God, you will live a long life. You serve God and your children will be blessed and you will prosper. This is what's so-called the prosperity gospel, a secular theology, which is all about blessing in the material world and nothing about the words of Christ, nothing about living for his glory by becoming nothing. And these are taught by deceiving spirits. 1 Timothy 4:2 says the teachings of demons. But that is the what the hearts of men desire. What men want to hear, what people want to hear out there is that. Those sweet words, words sweet to their ears. And that's because this flesh wants to hear that. So even as we're sitting here as those who've been baptized, who've been born again and have received the Holy Spirit, you've been serving the Lord for years now, and you even have titles and positions in the church, you have to be warned, and in myself, that within ourselves, in the because of the flesh and the deceiving spirits around us and the world that is deceiving, there are these false words that the ears are itching to hear. That's why we have to cling unto the words of truth and cling unto the spirit of truth, to only hear the words of truth, to be discerning the words of truth from lies. Hallelujah. Unbelievers are those who choose to not listen to the words of God as the truth. They choose not to believe in the words of the Bible as truth. They choose not to trust in the words of Yeshua to be true. Yet he is the truth. He is the God who is true. His words alone are true. Now in Acts 5, there is a story of a couple named Ananias and Sapphira. And this is a church where it's way in the beginning. So in Acts 2, we see the Pentecost happening, the Holy Spirit coming according to the promise of Yeshua, once again fulfilling and revealing that his word is true. The Holy Spirit comes to the gathering of the early Christians. And Peter, who was a coward just days ago, becomes so bold and goes out and testifies boldly. You kill Yeshua, but God raised him to life, back to life. You better repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins and receive the Holy Spirit. So he is one of those apostles leading the church, and Ananias and Sapphira is a husband and wife team who are members of this church. And at some point, it looks like they vowed to give offering. They said, we're going to sell a piece of land that we have, and we're going to give that money to the church, to God, to the church. But somewhere, without details, they changed their mind. It doesn't say they did not give. They actually did give, but they gave not what they vowed. So they took a discount. They took a discount. It's 50% off. So they kept the 50 and gave 50. Better than zero, but it was not 100%, which was their vow. So they brought to, first of all, the husband shows up to the apostle and said, hallelujah, hallelujah, I'm giving to all to Jesus. What we had vowed, here it is. Receiving that, inspired by the Holy Spirit, this is what Peter said. Ananias, how is that Satan has so filled your heart? Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and to the church. You have lied to the Holy Spirit and to the church. Now, of course, he's not speaking to God. He's bringing to the apostle who was the overseer of the church. But here's Peter saying, you lie to me, you lie to the Holy Spirit, you lie to the church. Because I am an overseer appointed by the Holy Spirit. So he's saying, I did not give. I gave half. Isn't that better than not giving at all? So what happened? You can imagine. They had said, okay, we're going to give everything. But then somewhere they went home and they said, let's have discussion. Should we give everything? Maybe the husband first said, yeah. Or maybe the wife said, yeah, we should. But one of them said, but look, we have these bills to pay. I got bills to pay, boss. I got bills to pay. So he said, I got bills to pay. Or like our children, the next generation, we need to make investment. We just did it emotionally. Maybe we didn't think through. You're right. So to become one, this is where you need to pay attention, to become one in the deceit, to become one in the deceit, that's where they become hopeless. The two becoming one in the lie, in the temptation. Do you know where I'm going with that? Because the two become one, they become bold and they justify themselves. And then they dare to lie and say, this is everything. Peter said, are you sure it's everything? Yes, it is. Satan has filled you, so filled you that you have lied to the Spirit and the church. You have lied to God. So you will die. So he was struck dead right there on the spot. Can you imagine the people? They're all like, dead. I mean, if it was selfie generation, they would have been doing this.
But the words did spread still.
Yes.
But it didn't end there. Some hours later, after the man had dragged his body out and then maybe dumped it, I don't know, buried it, coming back, huffing and puffing, the wife comes in, also saying, "Hallelujah, did you get the offering that we have vowed to give?" And before she even gets anywhere close to Peter, Peter says, "You see the men coming in after taking your husband's body? They will take yours too."
What?
And she falls and dead. In the church this happened. Can you imagine if this happened here?
We have to shut it down.
The reason why this happened in the early church was to establish the order of the church, reigning by the Holy Spirit, but also warning against lies. You do not lie to God. You do not let lie reign in your home. That's the message. You do not let lie rule your family. Your marriage must not be ruled by lies. I know I tell my husband to tell me the truth. I tell my wife to tell me the truth. Not for yourselves. You've heard this sermon up to this point that you now know what the truth is. Yes? Truth is what? True words are? The words of? Words of? Yeshua. Not words of Moses, not words of Confucius, not words of your president, not words of your mommy and daddy. The words of Yeshua, meaning the words of faith. This is why Yeshua said, "I did not come to give peace to the world. I have come to give you a sword." A sword so that a mother will be against a daughter, or mother-in-law against a mother, daughter-in-law, father against his son, father-in-law against father, son-in-law, wife against husband, husband against wife. What does that mean? Anything that united you under lies, in lies, must be broken. Broken and be mended back by the truth, in truth, the truth of Christ alone. No man? But this is sad because whether it's spouse or family, oh, my family says they will go to church as long as it's not COJ. So I think I have to save my husband. So let me leave COJ. And the pastor says, if you leave, you're going to die. Your soul, who's going to take care of your soul? I'm speaking to your soul, for your soul. Listen to me. Oh, no, no, no. Didn't God say love your family? I have to honor my family, so let me go, so I can save my family. Wait a minute. Save family and stay for my soul, which is the truth. Remember what the priority is. Priority is to be governed by the word of Christ. Is lay down your family, because he knew exactly what our weakness is. He is the one who said, your household is your enemy. I know you don't want to say it, but that's what it says. Your household is your enemy. Your family is your enemy. Who is the one who gave us our family? It's God. God made us the way we are. But knowing our weakness because of it, he is the one who's warning, your family is your enemy. Your spouse will be your enemy. Your mommy will be your enemy. Your daughter will be your enemy. Your son will be your enemy if you do not let the truth of Christ reign in your household. Do you understand? The reason why Ananias and Sapphira were destroyed, that family, can you imagine their children? They lost their mom and dad because they were struck dead in church. Wow. It's because they lied to God and they believed it themselves. So to say, oh yeah, well, you know, I have to go and take care of my family. Let me go and be one with my family. And then let me just kind of slow down. I'm going to go to another church. Don't worry, pastor. They all say that. I'm going to do my best. Don't worry. I'm not going to get corrupted. I'm not going to not go to church. I know you'll go to church. Maybe you'll be a religious, even more religious person over there. I can't speak for what goes on over there, but I can speak here. We are committed to tell the truth and speak the truth and listen to the truth. And not only that, do the truth. Live according to the truth, according to the true words. James 1:22 said, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. You know the saying? Not talk the talk, but walk the talk. Walk the talk, walk the talk, right? So don't just talk. You got to walk the talk, do the talk. You got to do according to what you say, what you preach, what you listen to. Not just go, yeah, that's very good. Right. And then go home and live differently. But now the word has to rule over my life. So I have to strive to do according to what I hear and what I speak. That's why the Lord said, not everyone who says, Lord, 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 didn't I prophesy in your name? Lord, Lord, didn't I speak in your tongues? Lord, Lord, didn't I cast out demons? Lord, Lord, was not a deacon at COJ? Was not a regional group leader for many, many years? Lord, don't you remember me? And the Lord says, I do not know you. But why would the Lord say that? He will say to those who have no fruit, according to what they have heard and what they have spoken. That is, if you hear the truth, you speak the truth. Just like if you live with a liar, you speak lie, just like your partner. It's just true, right? So you hear a lie all the time, you're going to speak lie. You live with a thief, you become a thief too. Even if the person is not actively stealing, they condone them, they allow them. They're a thief. Guilty by association. So you hear the truth, you speak the truth. Now we have to take a step further and do according to the truth. Live according to the truth. That's when fruits are given. Fruits are produced. Fruits. That's what Yeshua said. I will judge a tree by its fruit. I will judge your life by your fruit. And then say, Lord, Lord. And I'll say, I know you. Come into my house and live with me. Dwell with me. I will drink with you, eat with you. Or if you don't have fruit, I do not know you. Get out of here. I will shut the door in your face. So a man of faith, a Christian, is someone who strives, even if it's painful. And the narrow gate and narrow road is lonesome. And sometimes you wonder, am I going the right way? So when, whether it's a couple or family, when they're united under lies, there's no hope. But if one person says, just like one of those leprous men in 2 Kings chapter 6, they were eating the food when there's famine in the city of Samaria. They were under siege and they're all dying because of that. And the leprous men, they go to the enemy's camp and they see the food and they're eating. And one of them finally has a enlightenment moment and says, hey, what we're doing is not right. What we're doing is not right. So there is hope. In any situation, whether it's a family or a couple or when, if they're equally tempted, equally deceived, there's no hope. But if one person wakes up and says, hey, what we're doing is not right. What we're doing is not right. We have to repent and go back to the truth. We have to repent, pray. There have been people who says like, oh, my husband does not want me to go to meetings because he doesn't want to come. Well, why doesn't he let you go? Because if he doesn't come with me, people are going to say something bad about him. So he's going to get embarrassed, so he doesn't let me go to meetings. What? It's a free country. Come. That's what he said. It's a free country. You come for your own soul. But where's the love? That's love. You love your soul first and love his soul so that you, when you gain the strength, you can save his soul too. What do you say? I know it's really strong, but this is important, guys. How you hear the word is how you practice, put into practice in your life, in our lives. So whatever, for whatever reason, we must never speak lies. We must be vowed to never speak lies, not even small lies. So listen, especially young people. Mommy says, hey, did you do that? Not just young people. Where are you? Over there. I'm over there. I'm 5 minutes away. In reality, it's 50 minutes away. Just say, I'm sorry. Or like, why don't you come to church? I fell asleep. That's a famous one too. I fell asleep. You fell asleep? You fell asleep? Yeah? While eating dinner with your friends, you fell asleep. So even those small lies, don't lie. Because small, it's a small snowball effect. Small lies become bigger lies. And your conscience will be seared like with a hot iron. You don't even know truth from lies anymore. Then deceiving spirits will deceive you and take you down the spirals to destroy you. So we have to be vowed to only love to hear the true words and therefore speak only the truth, true words, even if it hurts. Certainly when we care for souls, when we are leading, we can't just say out loud. Sometimes we have to be patient and hold back and be wise about how we say things. But we have to be vowed to tell the truth, true words. By loving the true words that I hear. So you have to ask yourself, do I have to keep coming to COJ? And why? What's the reason? You've been seeing all these groups doing dedication. They've been in church for 20 plus years. And I said on Friday, if you think about 20 years, not every day was a good day for them, right? There was hard times, good times, bad times, difficult times, tempting times, tempting. Or sometimes their family left, but they're the only ones left. So this is very tempting, very challenging. But they stuck around. Why? Because they had nothing else to do? That this is a fun place? No! Because they do believe that this is where the truth is spoken. Amen? Do you agree? Even if it's hard and I'm not able to do it 100%, I do agree that this is where the truth is heard, spoken and heard. Say amen if that you agree with that. Amen? Then ask the Spirit, ask the Lord to give you the strength to continue to love to hear and speak the truth so that you start living. Continue to live according to truth so when the Lord comes back, He will recognize us as those who are true in their faith to take us to be with Him in that true heaven. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's close our eyes. Right now, it's hard. We don't know what the truth is. As in, is Jesus coming back? Is the end near? Yes, He is coming back. And the end is near. How do we know that? Because just as He said, He died and was raised back to life. And He ascended to heaven. And just as He promised, the Holy Spirit came. If He fulfilled all the prophecies, He is going to fulfill the last one about His return. And in that day when He comes back, the truth will be revealed. Time will tell. So we must wait patiently and anchor our hope. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure, that it is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for Yeshua to lie. That even if this path is narrow, if I continue to walk and follow Him in this path, He will give me eternal life. Save me in that day from this burning universe. I will enter that true heaven and receive that true life. So help me,